You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here we
go. He begins at verse 1. He says, "Wherefore, Ralph, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," he said, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And listen, he's saying that God has set a race before you, that you're going through something that God has said is ordained for you. You're going through something that God has said is ordained for you. And listen, by faith, we got to believe that now he not only brought us here, but he's going to bring us through here. And listen, well, he talks about this cloud of witnesses, and we've seen this book before in chapter 11. It's called the Hall of Fame of Faith. And listen, it shows and speaks of all the Old Testament saints that got over or got through or made it out okay only because they believed in God, and by faith they were doing what he called them to do. And look, they did not even have his spirit, but we have his spirit. And the writer is wanting us to understand that we're compassed about by their witnesses. Listen, they've gone on to be in heaven, and there are witnesses. And he's saying that because of them, and they were faithful to what God called them to do, that whatever weight, whatever sin that we have in our lives, we have the power because of God's Spirit to lay it aside and stop fooling around with it and take this race that he has given us and walk on with him. He says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And by the way, guys, that's the only way you're going to make it, because we all go through different various things. And I got to tell you, sometimes when you're down and you're looking up, that mountain looks awful big, and it looks like I can never get over it. But he's saying that we're looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. Guys, it started with him, it will go on in him, and it will end in him, and then it will never, ever end. He's the author, he wrote the book, and he's the finisher. He even wrote how this book is going to end, and he wrote it in his book as well. So we hold on to him. He said, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy, look at that word, that was set before him, the verse says, endured the cross, despising the shame. It is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And again, that oil of gladness is pointing toward the joy of the Lord. And look, though it was not joyful or easy for him to do what he did for those 3 years here on earth, though he was ridiculed and beaten and literally killed in the worst possible way possible, he still had the joy, because he saw the joy that was going to happen when he was successful and he was buried and raised up. And hallelujah, my people are now free. And for him, that was joy to go through that. And I dare say he would do it again. But guess what? One time with Jesus Christ is enough. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, the verse says, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. And in verse 3 says, for consider him that endured, look what the verse says, such contradiction of sinners against himself. And the verse says, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. And what he is saying is that Christ knew that, listen, from the earthly, from the world, it makes no sense. Why would somebody want to die for one like me? I know me. You know you. You know what you've done in life. And you know it surely was not all godly. And it makes no sense. It sounds like a contradiction, but God asked for a volunteer, and Christ volunteered. In fact, he was the only one who could do it. And though it sounds like a contradiction, he did it anyhow, so that you can be free and I can be free. And because of that, man, every time I might think to do wrong, every time I might think to get out from underneath his umbrella, anytime I might think I'm going to go back and do my own thing, I remember what he did for me. And there's no way that I can go against the finished works of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Guys, while we get tired, and we do, we need to remember what Christ went through. So, and listen, we wouldn't have a leg to stand on unless he went through that. And he willingly did it. And I make it personal. He did that for me. Because, man, I was dead in sin and trespasses. And by the way, you were as well. And love, the love of God through Jesus Christ, lifted me up out of the muck and mire. And he made me his child. And he blessed me to know him in a way, in a personal and intimate way. And he saved my soul, and he paid for my sins, and he gave me his spirit. And guys, now I even know what sin is. I know what right is, and I know what wrong is. And he's given me his spirit, so I don't have to go down the sin road anymore. And if I do, I do it because I choose to. I don't have to. I can lay aside that mess. And I don't have to pick it up no more. And if you do, you're guilty if you are his child. Because we don't have to walk in that muck and mire anymore. Amen. Flip back to the first chapter of Hebrews. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, we reread, "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even it says thy God, have anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." In fact, above everybody. In fact, Christ would have needed more than anybody else as he hung on that cross and was reminded as to why he was doing what he did. It wasn't for himself. It was for you. In verse 10 we read, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens," he says, "are the works of thy hands." And listen, we already said it in John chapter 1, verse 3, that through him all things were made, and without him was not anything made. He created the world. He brought it into existence. He's still sustaining the world. And guess what? One day he's going to tear down or shut down or destroy the very same world that he had made because of the sin of man. And many will say, well, why would he do that? And listen, we know in Genesis, shortly after creation, that he brought the flood because of the sin of man. And we're looking at some things in our time, man. And listen, we just had a conversation before church. How could the possibly, some of the things that we see going on in our amen, even by the government, how could they possibly be going on? I don't believe I'm seeing this, but you're seeing it up front and personal and in living color. And one day God is going to have to tear this place down as well. Amen. He says in verse 10, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning, have laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment." In other words, this world was created to live a long time or be around a long time, but it was not created. It was created for time, but was not created for eternity. And we know that one day is going to wax worse and worse. And by the way, we're seeing some of the signs of that even now with some of the things that we see going on in the world in regard to the weather patterns and the animal actions and just even sinful man. Look at verse 12. "And as a vesture, thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed." He says, "But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." And look, we know that Christ is in eternity and is eternal and will always be the same yesterday, today, and forever. But he's saying that this world that we live in, though it was made in time and though it was wonderfully and marvelously made, at least we were created that way. We're not that way anymore. And sin affects and infects everything we touch. And listen, they've infected the water. And I'll say we have infected the the water and the air and the land, and we keep doing it over and over and over. And then all of a sudden man said, well, ho, we got to fix what we broke. And they try to fix this over here, and then this over here falls apart. The beaches are eroded, and so they dig up sand from the bottom. They put it back on the beach and say, huh, we can fix anything. And then the next year, that sand is right back in the ocean. And then, by the way, when they pull that sand out, it has other effects, cataclysmic effects on the rest of the ocean and the seas. We see whales beaching themselves and porpoises beaching themselves, and we see pollution that's poured into the water. And man says, we can fix it. We see our climate that's all kinds of out of whack. And by the way, that's all on God's timetable as well. And man says, we can fix it. We'll work it out. We'll stop polluting. Guys, this whole sin thing has caused a cataclysmic change that God said would happen. And by the way, as bad as it is today, it's going to get much worse, which is why we need to be in the hands of Jesus Christ, because there is safety. There is joy. There, hallelujah, is the answer to the dilemma of sinful man. Amen. He says in verse 10, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hand. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall wax old, and thou wax old as doth a garment. In other words, they were created for time and not eternity. And verse 12 says, and as a vesture, thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. And take note of that, guys. It's not going to just happen. It says that he is going to cause these things to happen. He says, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years, it says, shall not fail. And look, God put all things under the power of Christ, and we know that he has put him in charge of all things. And look, his hands will one day destroy this universe that he has created. And again, we're seeing signs of that now, and it's only the beginning. It's going to get worse. Amen. Guys, if you would mark this page here and go with me to 2 Peter, thank you, Lord, chapter 3. That would be page 1060 if you're using a pew Bible. To the right, just a few pages, page 1060, 2 Peter chapter 3. And let's read a couple of verses out of there that's kind of dovetailing of what the Hebrew writer is saying. And listen, what he's wanting to us to understand that as believers, guys, that Christ really is going to come back here. And we need to be preparing ourselves for that. We need to be prayed up, confessed up, and listen, casting off any sinful things and living our lives for him. He says in verse 1 of chapter 3, if you're with me, say amen. He said, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both to stir up, he says, your pure minds by the way of remembrance. And listen, he's talking about your saved mind, and I want to remind you of some things. He said that ye may be mindful of the words that were spoken before by the holy prophets. And we know in the Old Testament they spoke of things that would come. It says, and of the commandments of the apostles of the Lord and Savior. He says, and he's talking about those called apostles and things that they have written in regard to God's word and his truth. He said in verse 3, knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. And look, they were going on during Christ's time. And by the way, the last days started when he came on, and they began the moment he was there. And even then, it said that it's going to be an increase in the last days. It said there will be scoffers. And look, we know it started when Christ came, and it will end on his return. But they're here now, and there are folk right now that think you are out of your mind, that you're believing an old book, that you're believing that Jesus Christ has saved you, that you believe in a heaven and a hell. And listen, some don't even believe in death. They think I leave here, and it just will dissipate, and nothing will happen. And I dare say it's why a lot of folk are committing suicide, thinking all my suffering will be over. But if you leave here, and I don't care how you leave here. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your problem has just begun. It's not going to get better. Amen. He says in verse 3, knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things, it says, continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And listen, he's talking about the fathers, the patriarchs, talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he said, ever since they died, nothing has changed. And guys, look, a whole lot has changed, and they willingly are ignorant or trying to be ignorant of it. He says in verse 5, and this they willingly are ignorant. In other words, they choose to be ignorant of it. It says that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. And we know that God, when he called this world into being in the beginning, God created. And listen, we know there was firmament up top, water up top, and there was also water under the ground. And by the way, he used both of those waters to bring forth the flood. Verse 6 says, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. In other words, rain was coming down. They had never seen rain. The ground was being watered by underground fountains. And so water was coming up and water was coming down. And it said that they were overflowed in water and it perished. We know it as the great flood. And indeed, there are some that don't even believe that happened. But guys, it is in the book. It indeed has happened. He says in verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store. Look what it says. Restored unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And listen, what he is saying is that, look, it's not going to be no more flood, but it is going to again be destroyed, but this time by fire and destroyed because of sin. He wore it out or destroyed it the first time because of sin, and he's going to do it the second time because of sin. And by the way, he said that every time we see that rainbow, it's a reminder that he's not going to bring a flood anymore. And listen, you can take that rainbow and put it on a flag. You can put it on the White House. I don't care where you put it, but it's a message to God's people that I love you and I'm going to come a different way this time, and it means nothing else. And don't take and use his symbol for something sinful, because he's going to hold you accountable to that as well. Amen. He goes on, verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Look, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In other words, verse 9 is saying that, look, the Lord is suffering long, and yes, he is going to come back, and yes, he is going to come and take his church out, and yes, he is going to deal with this world and destroy this world, but he's waiting because there are some who will be saved, and I don't know who they are. You might not know who they are, but God knows who they are, and he's waiting and being long-suffering and waiting and even putting up with this mess we see on this earth. And look, it seems like every week there's something else, that somebody comes up with something that's more ungodly than a week before, and God's holding back, and he's holding back, but there's going to come a time when he's going to say it is time, and he's going to do away with this place once he gets us out of here. And it will be a cataclysmic fall, and it will happen. And by the way, everything that needs to be done for God to take his people out is already done. So for that, the only thing we're waiting for is God's timing. And listen, Peter is helping us understand that God is tarrying, God's holding back, God's waiting, because there are still some souls that need to come to faith in him. Not too long ago, we gave out some Bibles. Like, we just put them out there and said, just give them away. Give them to some folk. And listen, that was an effort in regard to outreach, that maybe somebody will read that and will come to a faith in Christ. And listen, I dare say with your neighbors, with your in-laws, with your family, with the folk you like, with the folk you don't like, please continue to tell them about Jesus Christ. Not so that we can get that last Gentile saved, but so that they can get saved and not have to go to a Christless grave or deal with the mess that's going on during the tribulation. God would have us to do that. And when he closes the door and says it's over and pulls us up out of here, it's going to be too late for some folk. So don't let nobody on your watch go to hell without you telling them about Jesus Christ. And simply put, we're just telling them what happened to us. That's all we're doing. And let the Lord deal with the consequences of whatever might come from that. He says in verse 9, the Lord is not lack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And listen, he wants all to come to repentance. He wants all to get saved, but we know all will not get saved. Verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come, look, as a thief in the night, in the which it says the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And again, listen, he's talking about when he finally comes and deals with sin and sinners and Satan once and for all. And listen, we'll be with him at that time, and he's going to deal with that mess, and he's going to literally burn it up, because we can't live forever in a climate where sin has even touched anything. And during that time, hallelujah, there'll be a new heaven that he'll bring down from heaven and a new earth that he'll bring down. And then it will be only believers, Old Testament, New Testament, tribulation saints, who indeed bow a knee to Christ while they were breathing. He says in verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And listen, he's saying, with all that we just read and even what you already know, with all that in view, man, how are you living? How are you going to continue to live in? Are you stuck up in some kind of sin? Are you backdooring some mess you should not? Is your heart right? Has your thought right? Are you sold out for the cause of Christ? And he's saying, look, I don't know, but God knows, and he sees everything right to the crux of our hearts, and he knows us. And expects us to be doing what we are supposed to be doing while he's doing what he does, which is to bless, because one day he's coming back for judgment. Verse 12 says, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God. And listen, by the way, that day of the Lord is when he comes back and destroys. The day of God is when we will be with him. And listen, it will just be us. He says, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt away with fervent heat. And again, all the Lord's doing, and look, the one who made this world is going to be the one that destroys this world, and all he's doing because of the sinful actions of man. Again, world made temporarily, we as believers will be made for eternal purposes. He goes on in verse 13, nevertheless, we according to his promise, look what he says, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and by the way, only righteousness. He says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that we look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace. And again, in his perfect peace, without spot and blameless. In other words, not in sin, confessed up, prayed up, and living a life that's consistent with proper Christian living. Verse 15 says, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. In other words, he's waiting because there's still some folks who will come, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, have written unto you. He goes on, verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things, he says, in which some things are hard to be understood. And listen, there are many verses in the Bible that are hard to be understood, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, it's not impossible to understand them. They are can be understood. It says, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do, it says, with the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. In other words, guys, we got to have God's Spirit in order to understand his truth. And there are a lot of folk that simply say, I know Jesus, but it's lip service. It's not heart service, which is why they wrestle with the words that God writes in his word. He tells us in verse 17, you therefore, brethren or beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And listen, what he's doing here is challenging all of us, guys. Make sure we know who we know. Make sure we know who we belong to. Don't let it be a maybe. I asked somebody one time, I said, are you saved? And they told me, well, yeah. I said, okay, I'll see you one day in heaven. They said, well, I hope so. As a believer, man, we don't have to hope so. The Bible lays it out and tells us how we are his child. And by the way, if I am his child from the moment that I receive Jesus Christ, there's going to be some changes in my life and in my heart. And listen, from day to day and week to week and month to month and year to year, I'm not going to be the same, because he's not going to let me be the same, because I am not the same. I belong to him and his spirit lives inside of me. And it's hard to veil God's spirit when he's there, and he will keep you on the straight and narrow and bless you to do good things. He says in verse 18, where we'll close, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Peter writes, to him be glory both now and forever. And he ends chapter 3 with a hearty amen. Guys, my time is about done, so I'm going to close out on this verse, and I will reiterate what Peter just said. Make sure in your heart of hearts that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Don't make it a maybe. Don't make it I think so. Don't make it a I hope so. Make it I know. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this time of study, and Father God, for this sermon that you have given us, Father God, for this hour. And Lord, we thank you for the hymns. We thank you for the prayers. We thank you for the songs, dear Lord, and we thank you most of all for your word, for your truth. And I pray, Lord, that what we have learned today, Lord, that through it you will give us some godly wisdom that will stay with us forever. And bless us, Father God, as this word has fell on us or fell in our heart in a place where we're not right, Father God, bless us with the power to be right as we walk in you. Continue to look in on our prayer list, Father God, and bless as you see fit. Continue to work it out in our lives, Father God. And Lord, where we fall short, raise us up, Father God, so we don't have to fall short anymore. Minister to us and bless as you see fit, as we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. And let God's church say, amen. And amen. God bless you guys, and thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. You also can email them at New Beginnings Lamp, LAMP, at gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.